Well, on the telephone with me right now, Ms. Deborah Potter. Good morning, Deborah. How are you?
Good morning, Michael. How are you?
Oh, top-notch. Top-notch.
Good.
I wanted to have you on this morning because there's something coming up in the community that, well, let me just let you outline it for us so I don't have to stumble through it. Tell us all about it.
Oh, my book is called Let Buster Lead, Discovering Love, Post-Traumatic Stress Disorder, and Self-Assurance. It's about how my border collie helped me discover I had PTSD, then get well. It's a love story.
Now, I could tell, reading the publicity on the book, I could tell that. But you went through some trauma that I could hardly believe anyone would survive. And I hate to put you back through it, but so that people can understand, you know, how much this animal helped you and with just what you had to recover from. Would it be too painful for you to recount that for us?
Oh, you're so sweet. Actually, I grew up in a very theatrical family. My mother was a movie star. My aunt was a movie star. I mean, you were, you know, involved in acting yourself, and you know how much energy that requires socially and personally. And then I moved to Santa Fe, New Mexico, continued to manage actors and do political fundraising and volunteer work, and I was in the swirl, you know.
Yeah.
And I fell off my horse, broke 5 bones, had a concussion, and a year later, I was afraid to go out of the house. I was terrified of being touched. My bones were healed. I wasn't in any physical pain, but my body still reacted as though I was terrified of people. I did not know I had post-traumatic stress disorder. I was in the process of ruining a fantastic life. I was in the process of ruining my marriage, my social life, my career, everything. And it wasn't until I found out I had post-traumatic stress disorder that I was able to get help. And in the process of trying to get my dog to be with me more, because I was in love with my dog, he came everywhere with me. He was this handsome border collie, and he went to work with me. And border collies always have to have a job, you know, have a job.
Yeah.
So he just, instead of going around the neighborhood looking for work, which is what he always did, you know. That's why I talk, it's very funny stories in the book about that.
Get him on an entitlement program.
Yeah, really. And so he finally started coming to work with me and things, but I couldn't take him everywhere. I couldn't take him on airplanes and things. So I was sort of sneaking around trying to figure out, well, how could I possibly get away with it? I would never violate the ADA laws. Those are there for people who need them, and my conscience would never let me do that. But, you know, the imp side of me was looking through the list of things that people have service dogs for that are considered not obvious disabilities. I mean,
So if I read you correctly, at this point in your life, you were actually handicapped, so to speak, much as an unsighted person might be, who would have legal entitlement to take an animal like this where they want. But your disadvantage under law did not entitle you to have a pet for therapeutic purposes or medical purposes with you where you went, as an unsighted person might have. But you were debilitated.
Actually, the law does allow people with a mental disability, any disability, to use a service dog as a medical option. What separates an illness from a disability is when it prevents you from performing major life functions like going to work or leading a productive life. I had PTSD, but when it got to the point where I started screaming when people would approach me in public and I was afraid to go outside, that's when I knew I had crossed over into the line of disability.
Now this is the same syndrome, or is it properly called a syndrome or illness or
post-traumatic stress disorder.
Disorder, yes. Mm-hmm. Okay, it's a disorder. But it's the same affliction that people come back from wars with, isn't it?
Yes, often it is. We all experience trauma. A divorce, the watching some physical violence in your family, the loss of a job, an accident like mine. Mm-hmm. All those people at Virginia Tech who watched that awful massacre happened in April, and their families and their rescuer workers. Everybody experiences trauma. That's big trauma. There's little trauma. There's no evaluating it. I have read statistics that say 20% of women who experience trauma will get PTSD, and 8% of men who experience a trauma will get PTSD. could ruin their, but what's scary is people don't look for it because the symptoms usually kick in about a year later. So people don't know to look for the symptoms. I certainly didn't.
But even at that, this adventure with your horse was just the beginning of your troubles, wasn't it?
Well, yes, because the bones healed, like bones do. They take care of themselves. What didn't heal was my psyche, and I didn't know to get help. I was in the hospital for a week. I had all these different nurses and doctors. They all said, you've experienced major trauma. None of them said, and therefore we suggest you get counseling for PTSD, or therefore this is what the symptoms are. My book, Let Buster Lead, talks about what it felt like inside and what it looks like to others. The feeling inside is to relive the experience over and over and over again and be very, very nervous around other people, to withdraw, to not want to go out. Any loud noise makes you leap. Anybody approaching you quickly makes you leap. That's what it feels like inside. From the outside, it looks like she's got major PMS. You know, she's grouchy, she's irritable, she won't let anybody near her, she's withdrawn, she's moody, she's just not the same as she was before. Mm-hmm. That's what it looks like from the outside.
Where did you get Buster?
I got Buster at the animal shelter. Mm-hmm. There he was. I was trying to get a dog for my other dog. It was going to be her dog. She needed company. I didn't want to mess with a new dog. I was too busy. I had too much to do. And I fell in love with this magnificent dog.
So tell me about the relationship that you had with the dog that helped you conquer PTSD.
Well, my husband and I were very busy, and as the PTSD started kicking in my life, I just thought it was from regular stress. I started distancing my husband from me more and more and more. I distanced everybody, but I didn't realize it. But I let Buster get closer and closer to me. He really did become the love of my life during that period. And so when I had him with me in public, when I'd go out with him, just having him with me made me feel better. And under the law, that's all that it needs, the service dog needs to do for someone with a mental disability, is make him feel better, make him feel like wanting to go out and function in society. Buster himself, we went to a trainer for evaluation and a little bit of training. I needed the training more than he did, actually. But he would stand next to me, and in every store, when you have to go to the counter and buy something, all the people are walking behind you. And it terrified me. And Buster would stand behind me and tug on my leash when someone approached and let me know they were coming. Whenever we'd go through a door, he'd go through in front of me. Mm. And mostly just knowing he was there. People with canes don't always need their cane, but they like knowing they have it.
Well, we're going to take a little break right here, and I hope you can hang on for another segment with me. But before we do that, before we go to the break, tell me how I can get the book.
You get it at on your online bookseller, your bookstore. Ask your bookstore to order it for you if they don't already have it, or you can get it on my website, letbusterlead.com.
And that's the name of the book, Let Buster Lead.
Yes.
All right. We'll be right back with Deborah Potter, author of Let Buster Lead. 12 to go till 9 o'clock here in the Winchester Morning Magazine with Michael Heyman. We'll be right back.
Thank you, Michael.
Deb?
Yes, Michael.
Oh, good. I was hoping I didn't cut you off.
No, no. Thank you. So you acted and you have a book of your own?
Oh, yes.
So
when you're
hard.
60 years old, there better be something going on back there.
I'm almost 60. I know. We have to look back and say, well, at least I did something.
Well, I wanted to ask you a little about, your relatives. You mentioned that they were movie stars. I wanted to go in that, but I didn't want to, get too far removed from what the book.
Sure.
I understand that's what you're here about, but I'd like to go back into that for just a second, if I could.
If you'd
like. Back on the air, if you don't mind.
Of course. No, it's part of my life.
Okay. Well, we'll do that. And when we get back from the break, it'll just be a couple of minutes, okay? Can you hold on?
Of course.
All right. Swell.
Thank you.
The author of a
called Let Buster Lead, Deborah Potter.
Hi, how are you, Michael?
Deborah, thanks for reading my bio. I thought that was very thoughtful. We had a short exchange before we went on the air, and it turned out Deborah had examined my bio on the station's website there, and it turns out we have something in common, don't we?
I think we have a lot in common.
Yeah, we need to get together and find out more about each other.
I think so.
You mentioned just before we started talking about Buster and the subject of your book, Let Buster Lead, that your mom and dad were movie stars.
Well, my mother was, and my aunt was, and my mother was Joan Fontaine. Is they're still living? Yeah, Joan Fontaine, and her sister, my aunt, of course, Olivia de Havilland. My father was William, who I loved dearly. I talk about him in my book, Lester Lead, so much. But he was William Dozier, the producer of the Batman television series. We all remember that, and he also narrated it. Will Batman escape? That was my father.
Olivia de Havilland, your sister?
My aunt.
Your aunt?
My mother's sister, yes.
Well, she's not just a movie star, she's a legend.
She is. She is a legend and a great lady in every way.
Were you very close to her when you were a kid?
I wasn't. My mother and my aunt were not close. They have actually a famous rivalry. So as a child, I wasn't close to my Aunt Olivia, but then as an adult, I did become very close to her.
And Joan Fontaine.
That's my mother.
Yes. So
yes.
I didn't know Joan Fontaine was Olivia de Havilland's sister.
Well, see, you're not as old as you thought, Michael. There's lots to learn.
Well, I don't know about that. but that's very interesting. I'm glad I asked you about that and you shared that with us. So you grow up in what we would call a privileged environment, so to speak. And I'm sure that those people were very supportive in developing you emotionally. But then when this horseback accident happened, you broke all these bones. And you developed out of that post-traumatic stress disorder, didn't know what you were going to do, and you found salvation with this little dog.
Oh, I did. My dog helped me through it. The contrast in my ability to function in public was astounding when I had post-traumatic stress disorder, because one of the main symptoms that people will read in my book, Let Buster Lead, is the symptoms of post-traumatic stress and what it feels like, is complete withdrawal from society. That's one of the main symptoms. And for me, it was so frightening to be withdrawing more and more because I didn't know what I had.
Holy
I didn't
Michael.
Have any book telling me the symptoms and what it felt like.
Mike, I have to tell you something. You just caused an epiphany within me. I'll give it to you quickly and briefly, all right?
Please.
I have a divorce, and I don't think this is affecting me emotionally. I mean, it's over. It's done. I remove myself by several thousand miles, and I go live in a little cottage, really, in a clearing, in a forest. And I stay there all by myself, and I become so withdrawn, actually. And this is after 20 years of, you know, spending a life on the radio and being in touch with people. I actually, at one time, found myself walking around rubbing my hands because I had to go to the convenience store wondering what I was going to say to the clerk when I got there.
A divorce is a trauma.
And I never connected the divorce with that moment when I'm walking around trying to figure out what I'm going to say to this clerk at the convenience store. That's how withdrawn I had become. I never connected it until just this moment.
Oh, I'm so glad, Michael.
I hope my
book can help us all.
Wow, was it that intense with you?
Oh, absolutely. And when Let Buster Lead, when you read about my experience, I would start screaming when people would approach me. And somebody would come up to me in a grocery store, and I would just go, you know, I mean, this was not the daughter of a famous movie star. I mean, this was not how I grew up. I just didn't know what to do, and I'm so glad I found out what I had, because PTSD is very easy to treat when people seek the right treatment. And my website, Let Buster Lead, can lead people to where they can go to get treatment.
That's so remarkable that an animal could have that kind of impact. But you know what? I'm still going through this epiphany, and I remember becoming great friends with the squirrels. It sounds stupid. And the raccoons, I used to feed them. And I really developed relationships with the wild animals that lived in my forest there.
And I loved you.
And I'm realizing, talking to you, this helped me come out of that.
Oh.
That's incredible.
Oh, my kindred spirit you are.
We're having a moment, aren't we?
We are, yes.
Tell me once again how I can get Let Buster Lead and read it.
You can get it at your favorite bookseller or ask them to order it from you. You can get it online from most booksellers, or you can go right to my website, letbusterlead.com.
Thanks for being with me so much. We got a break now.
Thank you so much, Michael.
I'm so sorry to cut you off right now.
Oh,
here.
Don't worry.
I never know. The music starts playing, and you got to bail if it's a hard break, you know.
Better than having a guest with nothing to say.
Well, you had plenty to say, and I wasn't teasing you about this epiphany you just put me through. That was incredible.
Oh, I'm so glad.
I never understood that. I never connected. I never even considered the possibility that I was suffering some form of PTSD over my marriage when I thought that this was ordinary cabin fever from living alone in the forest.
Mm-hmm.
But you just helped me realize that's not what it was at all. It
no.
was about what I was going through in the wake of a divorce.
And then you got divorced again, I read.
Yeah, I did. That wasn't that traumatic, though. We married for, you know, so she could get her American citizenship. She's a German lady,
right?
So, and
yeah.
We're still great pals, and I'm still great friends with my.
How are you doing now? How's your heart now?
Top of the world. You know what it's all about? I'm back at work, and that changed everything.
Yeah, that's good.
A man needs a mountain to climb when he gets up in the morning.
Everybody does.
Yeah,
all do.
You can't survive in retirement but for just so long without feeling worthless.
Oh, absolutely.
We all
need to create value.
You've just been such a princess.
Oh,
you made a wonderful interview, and I hope you have great luck with this book here.
Thank you. Well, there's lots of other things we can talk about, so I look forward to talking with you again.
I hope we do. I'm going to send you a little email here, and thank you again, Deborah.
Thank you, Michael.
See you later.
Take care of yourself.
You too.
Bye.
Bye-bye.